If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
It's not just tedious. It's the Daily Showa. 1111.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
The Jewish apocalypse.
1111. Our 1,011st show.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Really weird. And we're one day off. It didn't happen on 1111. It's happening on 1110.
Oh, my God.
We should have taken a day off. It's like really weird shit. It's like Close Encounters. Like, this means something. Or something.
Yeah.
Oh no, that wasn't that was Weird Al's fucking that was UHF. That was their parody of Close Encounters. This means something. Like he made something out of fucking mashed potatoes or something. I don't fucking remember. Whatever. I got my shit crossed up there. 1111. It's been a privilege. It's been a privilege getting to a weird, like visually pleasing autistic number of episodes.
If it was 11-11 on 11-11, that would actually be kind of fucking weird.
It would be wild.
But, like, I don't think anything would actually happen.
Yeah. No,
it would never be because 11-11 is a Saturday.
That's
we
true.
Can just do it. We can just not publish the show till tomorrow.
How are we?
For the meme.
Oh, I see. Okay, that way we don't have to do any work. Well, we would have to do. We'd have to set up, like,
just do it now.
We'd have to, like, set up a Shabo server that randomly might post it tomorrow because we can't work on this on Saturday. Oh, God. Oh, right. No. Oh, no. I took the mask off again. Holy crap. For 10 years,
If the proton bounces correctly, then the server posts the post. But we don't know one way or the other. Yeah, I heard that Jews are calling October 7th Black Shabbat.
They're a good band. Like Iron Dome Man.
They're not so good at the branding.
Like you don't even have to rename
Iron Dome Man.
You don't even have to rename Paranoid. This is what
they're
they
just
are.
Iron Dome. Not even I am Iron Dome.
Have they lost their minds? Are the rockets making them blind? That's so hard to like keep on that melody. It's so fucking.
No, so have they lost their minds? Some more rockets from Palestine, something like that. Rockets incoming from Palestine.
Protests.
Oh man!
They have a line in there about them running all the protest movements that are they're supposed to be against their fucking ethno state. Black Shabbat.
You could do a whole like stupid parody album of that, but
you just do all of it. Just it's like Blink 1488 tier. Like somebody just get on it. Just make like all 12.
You know, Black Shabbat. War Pigs would be easy one, right?
Yeah.
No, just don't change anything.
Yeah.
This is about Jews.
Yeah.
War, not people that don't eat pigs.
Well, just do a quick like word replay. It's just like Hebrews gathered in their masses.
Right.
You know?
Hitler should have killed them with his gases. There you go. It's done. Work is done for you, right?
Evil kikes that plot destruction. Burn out. Oh, man. Kosher rats of fucking. Then he like rhymes destruction with destruction because Ozzy's just.
There's no
awful.
Really good word to rhyme it with, like.
Yeah, just construction.
How about the Gaza Strip needs reconstruction?
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Black Shabbat. I love it.
Black Shabbat.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't think Ozzy really, when he wrote that, that was sort of like a general criticism of like the military industrial complex, I get, and just like war making generally.
Yeah, they so, were
like,
doing
very much, very much more sort of specific critiques here.
Yeah, most that of that is that War Pigs really deals with like the rich people create these conflicts and then send the poor to go fight them, which is in the right ballpark.
Yeah,
but
it's
you don't
it's
have nice very, box seats yeah. yet. You don't have season tickets. You're in the ballpark. Can't really see, you know, you can't see balls and strikes from where you're at. You just know there's a game happening and that you're losing.
Yeah, you can't see home plate.
And it wasn't Ozzy writing those. I think it was Geezer Butler would write all their lyrics because Ozzy's just like a retard, so he can't do anything.
Yeah, he's actually like a retarded person.
He's so bad that like the problem with him is like he just whatever the guitar is playing, he just sings the same thing. It's the most retarded shit in the world. That's why people like were shocked when they got the when they got Dio to like replace him. He was like, oh, this guy can like write a counter melody? What is this all about? Anyway, I don't want to get off into that fucking tangent.
Yeah.
But I had this terrible clip. Did you know that there's a somebody on Bang, let's just make fun of a listener for a minute, is like very
I don't like doing that.
But concerned.
Right. That's fine.
He's concerned with the lack of interest in the Republican debate.
Hmm. Oh, what's to see?
They had a debate.
It's a bunch of clowns just like...
It's a total clown show. Like, I don't know.
It's
I don't want to make fun of the listener. I'm only joking.
I don't want to listen to Pajits like squawking at each other. That's the reason I don't tune into the Republican
debate.
That's
actually... That's the problem is that's the funniest part. That's the most entertaining part is like...
That actually is probably hilarious. You, have, like, you wouldn't watch it with for any... Like there's no serious analysis to be done. All these people are clowns.
Yeah.
They're all a joke. Like Stryker said this yesterday, which was sort of funny. That like there's some new accusation that like Russia is trying to like interfere in the elections, and he's like, on whose behalf? Like everyone's a fucking like warmongering retard. Like they're like nobody running for president is not like completely stupid. Like who the fuck would Russia intervene you know, on behalf of? Like look at these fucking retards.
It's just a thing to say, but that's what like
yeah.
What one thing I would say seriously, not making fun of that listener, is like, well, I'm not interested in it because. It's literally like establishment Pajit versus controlled opposition anti-establishment Pajit, like flinging shit at each other. And it's like as a GOP voter, if you're watching this and you're interested in it, and you're going to be if you're not a GOP voter, but if you are an American rightoid, you are going to be excited by Vivek Ramaswamy's rhetoric. That's a huge problem. Like that, everybody else in the stage doesn't represent you, and even the things Ramaswamy says are just kind of like meh. So.
Yeah, Ramaswamy is the closest thing to somebody doing like an edgy, like Ron Paul, like poking at the, poking at them to kind of keep it a little bit exciting. Without him there, like they would basically be nothing. It would be platitudes.
There's nothing to watch
upon platitudes, and even he does platitudes, and he does like the worst is when like the news like tries to trip him up on the shit he needs to say to stay edgy and cool, and then he has to Moat and Bailey tactics, and his moat is retarded.
The expressionless face of Lester Holt.
Oh, right? Horrible AI fucking manifestation. Anyway, let's play this.
Dude, he looks like he's an iRobot.
Well, this this clip.
he looks like one of the robots from iRobot.
Could a nigger write a symphony? So we're about...
If only niggers follow, like, the three laws. Like, you're not allowed to harm humans.
Only each other.
Anyway.
So we're about to see, like, major, like, audio-visual evidence that somebody's interfering in American elections. I don't think it's Russia, though, so here we go.
We have 2 hours for a serious debate on the issues that matter most to Republican voters. With that said, let's have a good debate.
We have anti-Semitism all over our college campuses.
We have our greatest ally in the Middle East under fire from a terrorist group that has committed to wiping them and every Jewish person in this world off the map.
Judeo-Christian
Okay,
Foundation.
How do I vote for them?
I would be telling BB, finish the job once and for all with these butchers, Hamas. They would wipe every Jew off the globe if they could. I'm sick of hearing other people blame Israel just for defending itself. We will stand with Israel.
The first thing I said to him when it happened was I said, finish that. To support Israel with whatever they need, whenever they need it. The last thing we need to do is to tell Israel what to do. It is not that Israel needs America. America needs Israel.
The founding vision of Israel. Israel has the right to wipe Hamas off of the map.
We will support you. We'll be there with you. We'll stand shoulder to shoulder. There will be no daylight. America is here, no matter what it is you need at any time, to preserve the state of Israel. It is absolutely your obligation. to protect the territorial integrity of Israel? And with a question from Matthew Brooks, the CEO of the Republican Jewish Coalition.
Do you support the use of military force by the United States against Iran? Jewish students across the country are threatened and under attack. What do you say to Jewish students on college campuses who feel unsafe given the dramatic rise in anti-Semitism?
I think the scourge of anti-Semitism across this country, it's sad to see. Anti-Semitism is a symptom of a deeper cancer in a country and a society that is lost, and we are lost.
Any campus that allows for anti-Semitism and hate, you should lose your federal funding today on visas for encouraging Jewish genocide. I would deport you.
No, it's the anti-Semitism that's spiraling out of control. Right. That is what we have to confront.
Jewish students and synagogues being threatened in our state. We made sure that we sent federal agents to those synagogues and we protected them. The same thing should be being done now.
Anti-Semitism is just as awful as racism. Talking about genocide for the Jewish people, that's not the values of America.
We need to focus specifically on providing Israel with the $14 billion that they need. We are 100% undeniably standing shoulder to shoulder with Israel.
Now everybody wants to move away from Ukraine. They'll want to move away from Israel a year from now. There is a reason Ukrainians want us to support Israelis. When we make sure that we have the backs of our friends, whether it's in Israel, whether it's in Ukraine.
With all of this anti-Semitic, horrible stuff.
Speaking for pro-Israel views or others,
Ambassador. And so if you don't believe that making sure that Israel and that Israel situation that's going on right now isn't resolved, Israel must be defended not with humanitarian pauses. We will supply them with everything they need.
On behalf of the Republican National Committee and all of us at NBC News, good night, everyone, from Miami.
Should we just end the show now? I mean...
This is why I didn't watch. I don't know if I could deal with watching that.
Again, to take another shot at the bang poster, it's like, yeah, you know what we need to do? We need to see what the people that are paying attention to this are all about and sort of tailor our message to pick up. Like,
well, I don't know.
How do I tailor my message, death to Israel, to appeal to someone watching?
Well, my thing is, I think
the GOP is making a tactical error here because they talk about this situation as if it's the United States of Israel.
It's just, is Israel. Like, there's just
these people
Israel.
Are going to fucking lose. Like, none of these people is going to win the election.
Well, no, like, but like, it's not like the other party's any better on
no,
that.
They're
like,
not.
They all agree. Like, there's no.
But they're not just openly.
They're smart enough to pretend.
Yeah.
They're not out there literally saying, like, defending Israel is as important as defending America. We're the same, you know?
Right.
Well, that's crossing, like, because I see this in some of these comment sections. I don't know if it's a good barometer for anything, but whenever there is a story, for example, about some Jew in the United States going abroad to fight for Israel, you do see pushback from the same bloodthirsty boomers because suddenly they see that person as a traitor. They're like, wait a minute. You wouldn't fight for our military, but you're going to go fight for Israel? You're a dull citizen. Like, they do pick up on that. They see it as a form of disloyalty because it
really?
Is.
I'm surprised at that.
Yeah, I see it all the time. In the comment section, like I said, I don't know what kind of barometer that is, but it would make sense, right? Because this is like a very obvious tribal thing. Like, wait a minute. You didn't join our military, but you joined theirs. What are you doing here?
Right. Yeah, well, the fact is, like, the United States is just a colony of Israel. Like, they've taken over our institutions, and they use us as... They use this as passive income generators for their state.
Say it like that. If you say it like that, then people start to get mad. They're like, wait, what?
People should be mad.
Well, that's what I
– They should be mad at Israel and Jews and everyone that works for them. They should be mad. Really fucking mad.
I mean, people should want to kick every single one of these fucking people out.
You can't even get –
You know, honestly, like if Rand Paul or Ron Paul – Ron Paul, really, were still like, you know, like not really old. But if he were still around, he would be actually way better than Vivek on this. He would be like, this isn't our business. Mm-hmm. He would just be like plumb line, like, this isn't our business. It's not, America shouldn't be encouraging conflicts. Like, and they would all be piling on him and it would be, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, he would take the principled, we shouldn't be funding this. Why are we funding this? And he would just be.
Yeah.
Called an anti-Semite for it, in which...
They would be dogpiling him, and, like, the anchors would get hostile with him, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So...
I think that's a very bad look to be out there on stage, just openly saying that we gotta support Israel.
Well, this is a fucking problem.
Additionally, support Israel. That's another
this
one.
This is a big problem. I was reading yesterday. I actually read a Thomas Friedman editorial in the New York Times.
Wow, that guy.
And it was rough. I got through it though.
I'd rather read Marty.
I read it because
read a Marty Friedman. Just read a Marty Friedman like piece of sheet music instead.
Yeah,
just as mind-boggling. I would get as little out of it.
And I've been reading. I've increasingly been reading certain of these types of editorials coming from the sort of liberal Zionist perspective, right?
Right.
And I'd say Thomas Friedman lays out pretty carefully the liberal Zionist perspective. Like, he's unabashedly Zionist, unabashedly pro-Israel. He's in Israel right now. He's talking about going around and talking to people who survived the attack, and they have, like, camp set up in Israel for all the internally displaced people. There's 500,000 internally displaced Jews in Israel, and they're living in hotels, and they have some even like campgrounds and shit for them. And a lot of the people that were in some of those southern towns that were attacked, they moved them out to like a camp out by the Dead Sea, and he's out there to talk to them, whatever. Anyway, so he's super patriotic to Israel, but then he goes into the problem, which he says, like, you know, Israel has its worst leader.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
In its history, and, you know, one of the worst Jewish leaders ever. And this guy has created and he says, like, we have to destroy Hamas. Like, we can't live with the security threat consistently on the border. Like, something has to be done. But his answer is Hamas needs to be destroyed, yeah. And then we need to get the Palestinian Authority in there, take over Gaza, and continue the peace process negotiating toward a Palestinian state, which, of course, is the liberal Zionist way of stretching the conflict out,
yeah.
So it doesn't hurt as much, but just sort of slowly, right, easing these people out, right?
The Palestinian Authority is their puppet, and they won't, you know,
right.
You can't.
It's their proxy, and you know, and America pays the Palestinian Authority to basically stop the Palestinians
to be
from
gay.
Fighting Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just like they pay Jordan and Egypt not to fight Israel, yep. And et cetera, et cetera.
Yep, yep,
right.
Yep.
So, you know, this is the liberal Zionist perspective, and he lays it out, and it's like he's very critical of Netanyahu. He's very critical of Ben-Gvir. He's very critical of the settlers. He's very critical of them openly spewing their, like, eschatological Judaism, like their desire to massacre all Palestinians, their desire to destroy the Temple Mount, like, you know, to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque, all this stuff.
Whoa,
he's very critical of all them doing this, right?
It's 11:11 a.m. on episode 11:11. Just wanted to say that. You got it.
Unfortunately.
11:11. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, so the problem is, so I read this article, and he lays out the whole case. He makes a very sympathetic case for Israel and all the poor Jews and the ones that, and he's talking about how, like, you know, they're surrounded on all sides, and there's like really hostile, credible hostile threats on all sides.
How
would
you get surrounded on all sides? Why is it like that? How come you can't? How come you don't just have neighbors? How come you have threats on all sides? Do you think it's a you problem? I don't know.
Oh, it's because you shouldn't be there. But
it's like you're like a cyst and stuck in a pore of the fucking flesh of the Middle East, and it's all just like flaring up around you, trying to Just someone should just come by and pop it.
And what he actually wants is for America to exercise. You know how we always talk about America's like holding Israel back. He is begging America to restrain Netanyahu and his retard coalition.
Right, right.
And America actually really isn't doing it. And one of the problems is that, like, you have all these buttgoy politicians, like in the Republican Party, who just won't criticize Israel. And even in, like, the Democrat Party, for any politician to do it is, like, extremely fraught. Like, the only one who could really do this is, like, Blinken, because he doesn't have to face the public. You know, he's a Jew. He can talk about it, whatever. So he's basically – but, of course, Thomas Friedman is filtering it all through, like, Joe Biden. But the problem is, though, that the people he's talking to, which are, like – non-Jewish white liberal readers, upper middle class, like white liberal readers of the New York Times, they don't want any part of it. Like, I open up the comment section, and it was sharply divided between people who were obviously Jews and people who were white, where the white people that read the New York Times are like, you know, this shit is like, what the what are you kidding me? Like, they're like, Israel, this is just this country is just doing, it's like a racist, evil country that's just like killing people. This is what they're all, and they're saying variations of this in like diplomatic ways, because they're New York Times commentators. But it's funny. So it's like, you know, the kinds of people you would need to be your sort of managerial class in America aren't on your side. And the kinds of people that are in the managerial class in America are just retarded sycophants that aren't going to ever criticize, no matter how retarded Israel is. And the only people that vocally support Israel love the fucking retard shit. Like, they speak the language of retard. They don't speak the nuanced language of, like, here, we got to work with people, do some phony diplomacy, like, draw the thing out, like, not initiate immediate conflicts with apocalyptic rhetoric.
It's like, you know, they've never seen
this in a smart way, you know.
They've never seen Tropic Thunder. It's like Desert Thunder. It's like, never go full retard. They go full retard all day long.
And the problem is they can't – he's, like, asking America to essentially – essentially, I think what he's probably doing is asking America to, like, regime change Bibi. And I've heard a lot of chatter about this. I don't think it's going to happen. Bibi's not going to go anywhere, and I don't think America, the government here, is not – like, it's just too fraught. Like, there's not enough – like, the Jews are in charge, but, like, how do you explain to people that we need to do that, right? They might just be, like – because they've told Bibi – I'm sure that they've told him he should step down and let somebody else step up, but he's just not going
to
do it.
The Israelis need to do the opposite of what they're doing right now. You know, like, all you diaspora fucking liberal retard Jews need to move back and win those elections. I mean, that's like you're out, you know, you're off messing with all these other countries, and oh, look at that. Like, all that we've left behind is these, you know, these sand and soil, fud and moil Jews that want to, like, do a heckin' genocide nationalism for themselves. It's like, if you want them to liberalize, you better go back. But they don't go back. And now that it's not really...
Well,
now with the violence, they leave in fucking droves, even harder. They leave even harder. Yeah. Like, Netanyahu's probably electoral. Like, if you held an election next week, like, Netanyahu would probably, like, be more popular.
Well, he wouldn't win, but somebody else, like,
the nationalistic, like, Zionist coalition would be stronger right now because of, like, people feel they're under threat, and the people who oppose that kind of shit fucking left. They flee. They come and fucking. They go to Europe. They come to fucking our country.
Yeah,
I was looking at the one of these bang posters. Had watched the whole thing. So there's a definite escalation rhetoric regarding foreign wars compared to the previous debates.
Oh yeah. So
as a group, they seem to have reached a consensus position that can only describe as world war with Eurasia, from Russia to the Middle East to Iran to China and even North Korea all at once, or it's over for America. It's like. How much is Raytheon paying you to do this kind of rhetoric?
I don't think it's Raytheon, dude. It's fucking Kikes, man. Raytheon is just there, for the ride.
The Jews necessarily benefit from us being on a multi-front war. I think they'd prefer us to be concentrated helping them.
Well, the problem is that now, yes, but before that, like when they didn't think, because they got blindsided, they didn't know this was coming. They thought Hamas they thought Hamas and the Palestinian Authority were cowed. They didn't see this coming. Now that this is coming, but you got to remember, the multi-front war is like entirely for Israel. So the in Syria, the whole Syrian civil war was to, after 2006, when Hezbollah represented a credible threat to the IDF, they were able to repel the – they won a war. They were able to repel the IDF from Lebanon, and they represented a distinct threat to Israel. Well, what happened is that's because they're armed by Iran. This is not controversial. And that goes through Syria. And Bashar Assad was more than happy, who's also allied with Iran and allied with Hezbollah, was more than happy to allow Iran to ship weapons through his country to arm Hezbollah to basically make them some big thing on the northern, you know, on the northern border with Israel, the southern border of Lebanon. And so the Jews started the civil war in Syria in order to, just like they wanted to overthrow Saddam Hussein and try to create like a country that would be a counterweight to Iran. And then you have Syria who's like helping Hezbollah arm themselves by letting Iran ship weapons through their territory into Lebanon. And because the Syrians have long been allied with Hezbollah and the Iranians. So now they're like, okay, we're going to just descend this country into civil war so we can bomb it at any time. And the reason they want to do that is so that they can bomb convoys of weapons going into Lebanon. The Russians rescued the Assad government because they had interest in, you know, they were allied with Syria. They had interest in keeping the Syrian government intact. So what do? Well, now we overturn Ukraine, create a problem for Russia on their border. So all this stuff centers around Israel.
I don't think all of it does. I mean, you've got China, you've got North Korea, I mean, what the fuck? What's the Jew angle to China? Why?
What's the Jew angle to China? Well,
why would we want to start
a threat to American hegemony? American hegemony is required for Israel to exist. All this, all the foreign policy shit, 100% of it is Jewish.
But we're escalating.
100%.
We're escalating this conflict, though. Like, we're creating the problem for ourselves.
Yes. Because because Jews are running things doesn't mean they're running things well. Doesn't mean they're smart. It's
a very stupid thing to do.
Yeah, they're dumb.
If you don't, getting America, like, tied up in a multi-front war with a bunch of other nations is remarkably stupid, especially if you want resources from them.
You gotta remember, though, these other countries aren't passive players. Like, what happens if they decide that they just had enough of this shit? Because that's what's going on. It's not that, like, they would necessarily be escalating their rhetoric and their threats and warnings against these countries just because. They're doing it because China got, like, heavily involved in the Belt and Road Initiative, heavily involved in improving the economy and infrastructure of all these Arab countries, which, of course, their ability to isolate Iran with sanctions is undermined by China. China making deals with Iran, China making deals with the other Arab countries, China setting up infrastructure, and then China buying oil from Iran on the black market, keeping Iran's economy afloat when they tried to sanction it to death so they can't develop more military capabilities. All of this shit is like a big pattern, and, you know, the Jews are basically having to balance all of it. So, no, there is no single aspect of American foreign policy that does not revolve around keeping the tiny little state of Israel in existence. And frankly, that military-industrial complex shit, that is leftists that want to avoid the fucking truth. That is a cope for leftist people that want to avoid the Jewish question. It's frankly silly because we already spend plenty of money on the military-industrial complex, whether we go to war or not. Like, those boondoggles exist. In fact, one of the problems they're having is that, you know, They have spent too much money on stupid boondoggles and not enough on actual real weapons. So, you know, they actually got sloppy with how they were funding the military industrial complex. But I don't, and I never have bought arguments that our foreign policy is, like, driven by companies that sell weapons.
There's wrinkles though. Like Qatar is a big wrinkle in that. Like, what are we doing?
How they a wrinkle in that?
Because we've got CENTCOM in Qatar.
Yeah,
Qatar, of course, has Hamas headquarters there. And then, so Hamas pulls off an attack in Palestine. You start seeing all this rhetoric coming out of Washington about how we need to go after Iran. It's like, but that's not where Hamas has any kind of headquarters. That's in Qatar. That's in your territory. What are you talking about?
Well, they were letting Qatar fund Hamas when they thought Hamas was under control.
I mean, there's...
They weren't expecting this.
So it's rather complicated.
Right.
Qatar is currently, like, brokering a ceasefire for them.
Well, that supposedly. I mean, Arabs don't fucking think so. Like, if you look at, like, the Arab pages on Telegram, they don't think so. They think it's all fucking smoke and mirrors what the Saudis and the Qataris and the Gulf
Arabs
do.
Yeah, there's a lot of complicated stuff going on over there. There's a lot of people playing both sides against the middle.
Well, there's no middle. I mean, basically the issue is, are you faking that you're against Israel or are you actually against Israel? Yeah. Those are the only two sides. Like, because it's like you have Turkey is fucking just full of shit. Like, there are people like, frankly, I usually like Douglas McGregor, but he says dumb shit sometimes. He was saying, like, Turkey is going to get involved. I'm like, there's no fucking way in hell Turkey is going to, like, attack Israel. That is utterly retarded. Yeah, that will not happen.
Not this close to Thanksgiving.
So Erdogan is just talking a lot of shit. But he doesn't even need to attack Israel. He could, like we've been talking about, he could just cut off the fact that the pipeline that supplies 40% of Israel's oil comes out of Turkey. And it deliberately avoids Syria and Lebanon. So it goes through the Mediterranean right to Israel in order to avoid enemy countries, right? Countries that are just enemies of Israel. And Erdogan is just keeping that flowing while just heightening rhetoric and saying Israel is committing war crimes. He's doing that to keep Turkish people happy. It's all politics. And, like, all these fucking Arab countries are doing that. The Emiratis, the Saudis, and the Qataris, I don't trust them for a second. I'm also like, questioning this Qatar funds Hamas thing. Like, that's a very I'm curious about. I'm sure that happens.
I think somebody
you also got to remember.
I think it's not Qatar. I think somebody owns property in Qatar and is somehow involved
with
Hamas.
Well, they had sent
Like, there's somebody rich who lives in Qatar, and I don't know if he's...
Muslim Brotherhood's connected to this, too. They have a much more direct relationship than Iran. Well, Iran is, like, very indirectly connected to them. Qatar is very literally connected. This has always been the leader of
Hamas went into exile in Qatar. They accepted him in exile in Qatar. But, you know, a lot of these narratives that you read in, like, the mainstream or the leftist press is this shit's, like, a lot of this shit is 10 years out of date. Like, they haven't updated their firmware. Like, I'm not convinced that Iran and Hamas don't have a relationship. I'm not convinced that Hezbollah and Hamas don't have a relationship. I think they obviously do, because there's Hamas fighters that are in South Lebanon now, and they're not getting chased off the way they used to. So
the connection is much stronger between Hamas and Qatar, and because the United States is stationed.
Well, that's what they tell you.
True. It's just fucking true. It's a much more direct relationship.
All right. I mean, yes, that's, again, yeah, you know, sure, fine. I mean, maybe.
If you're hearing this, then you're only getting half the show. Did you know that therightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded? Thanks to this censorship machine, this project can only be sustained by listeners like you, by supporters like you. So why don't you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall and show the powers that be that they can't silence the most silenced.
But, like,
I also noticed that it's kind of a soft spot. They try to not talk too much about why Qatar has this complicated situation with the United States and why we're not beating down their doors and sanctioning them and doing stuff to them.
Because they've kind of got them
under...
You'll
see it in back channels a little bit, but you're not going to see this reported in the mainstream press. Mainstream press will focus on Iran. They go on and on about Iran. Right, they had a preloaded narrative immediately to start talking about Iran because they really want to go fuck with Iran.
Right. Because that's the biggest threat to Israel.
Right.
Yeah.
Iran is a major threat to Israel. It is an existential threat to Israel.
But it's not a major threat because it's helping Hamas. It's a major threat because it's just a major threat.
It's a major threat. Just so you understand, it's a major threat because Iran has, you know, they say, like, Iran is the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world. Now, Iran has actually never sponsored a terrorist attack against a Western nation. But Iran... The reason they say that is because Iran sponsored Hezbollah, and because now there's, like, a new Hezbollah, like, in Iraq. And there's, like, and they even have a similar logo. It's if you see Hezbollah's logo, it's like the Arabic letters with the like holding up the gun. There's something called the Islamic Resistance in Iraq that's been putting out memos that they've been droning all these bases in Syria and Iraq, and they are basically Iranian proxies in Iraq. And they also, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, are openly operating in Syria and have bases and equipment there, just like the U.S. does. And they're basically, the Iranians are basically building a relationship inside Iraq like the one they have inside of Lebanon, where their militia is basically the government inside the government.
It's also the second largest country in the Middle East, next to Saudi Arabia. So it's just by its sheer size. It's like
my point is that Iran is actually projecting power. Yeah, like, I think there's a tendency amongst leftist commentators about this issue to pretend like the United States is the only country that actually does stuff, and all these other countries are passive actors, you know, and so, like, Iran is just sitting there being innocent. It's not true. Like, you know, frankly, you know, when Ned Price was out there telling everyone that Russia was going to invade Ukraine, everyone was like, that's just rhetoric because America wants to start another war, and then Russia invaded Ukraine. So, like, he wasn't wrong. Like, he had the information he had was obviously good information. That was real information. And so I don't actually completely doubt them when they say that they see connections here with Iran. Now, the connection with Iran and Hamas might be a little bit tenuous. It's certainly stronger than it was 10 years ago. But the thing is, Hezbollah is right on Israel's border. They have an advanced arsenal of missiles that were built in Iran that are using Iranian technology that have been shipped there by the Iranians. They have missiles that can easily penetrate Israel's air defense. They have missiles that can hit our aircraft carriers in the Mediterranean. It's one of the reasons what's one of the things they're very worried about Hezbollah actually getting involved. So basically what Israel has to do, you used the term cutting the grass before. Israel's only deterrence for this is if you get us, we will destroy your country. That's it. And they will not discriminate. Israel doesn't do precision strikes. Israel's method of fighting is, if your army or your militia fights us, we will kill civilians until you can't take it anymore.
Well, it's like Schrodinger's like precision strikes, because the idiots that are observing all of this simultaneously believe that Israel has precision weapons and they're just targeting Hamas. And then they also believe that Israel should be able to just bulldoze everybody in Palestine.
Right. Well, because they don't have a coherent viewpoint. Their viewpoint is just support Israel and they'll say whatever they need. So if people are saying Israel is killing civilians, they'll be like, no, they're not. But then they'll turn around and they'll be like, yeah, Israel should just be allowed to kill whoever. Right. So all they want to do is like win the argument or win whatever the immediate, like there's no principle here. There's no, the principle of like, you should obey the international norms of war is simply not existent. The only principle is defend Israel at all costs, like win any argument, take any talking point. So when someone is saying, example of this, okay, so in the Florida legislature, this black woman got up and sponsored a resolution to call for a ceasefire.
Can we get that clip? Because that's some fucking ridiculous
yes.
shit.
Yes, we should try and get that clip. I don't know where I could get it, but I was not even talking about that. There's one part of that that we should talk about, but my point is that in her speech, in her little speech she gave, she talked about the occupation. And so that fucking kike Randy Fine starts splitting hairs with her about, like, what do you mean by occupation? What are you talking about occupation? And he's like, is Gaza occupied? Israel left Gaza in 2005. Is Gaza occupied? I'd be like, well, right now, today, yes, it is. Yes, the Jew army is all over Gaza mm-hmm. today.
Right.
But in terms of like, but so then the problem is her general point that like Israel is like slaughtering civilians gets completely lost in this fucking hair splitting, you know? It's like Israel's obviously occupying the West Bank, and they've reoccupied the West Bank in the last month, and they've been murdering people in the West Bank every day. They call it Jenin, Nablus, and one other of the cities on the West Bank are like where all the militants are. They call it the Triangle.
Where is this? It's like someone. It's got to be the same woman was basically pleading for Palestine.
Yeah.
And some Jew is like, you just got to kill them all, like something to that effect.
Yes. She said, how many Palestinian babies will be enough? And this Jew woman, this Jew Margaret Salzberger, was her name, said like all of them. And this black woman was like, my colleague just said all of them.
Disgusting.
I actually shared the black woman's outrage because she was like, I can't believe it. And then, of course, the resolution lost like 102-2. In the Florida legislature, because Florida is fucking completely run by that kike Randy Fine.
Florida is just—it is literally a part of Israel.
Yeah.
Same architecture.
Parts of it, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between Florida.
You also notice that one thing that's interesting is that the media did not cover the Jewish woman, the Jewish representative, saying like, "Kill all of them." Mm-hmm. That was hidden by the U.S. media. So,
what was the other?
I'm having trouble even finding any like reference to this in the media.
I only saw it on Telegram, and I don't know if I could scroll back far enough to find the video.
What is the video?
This black woman was introducing her resolution to call for a ceasefire in Israel,
mm-hmm.
and she was making these impassioned pleas to do it, and she was like, how many Palestinian children are enough? And some Jewish member of the Florida legislature, some woman, yelled out, all of them.
In Florida? Yeah. All right, I got it right here.
All right.
I've got it right here. Let me...
I would imagine it would be on Twitter, but...
Yeah, I found it on, I found it on Twitter right away.
We are at 10,000 dead. Shit!
Sorry.
Shit!
Yeah. God damn it. Well, you know. All right, I know. It is what it is.
Country niggers. Country
we are niggers. At 10,000 dead Palestinians. How many will be enough? I also... One of my colleagues just said all of them.
Yikes.
Wow. One of my colleagues said all of them.
Couldn't hear it. Did you hear it?
I didn't
also,
hear it, but, like,
Representative
I
Saltzman is quoted.
I also.
Hold on, everyone, shut up.
I,
all right, I hear that murmur. All right, I'm muting you guys because you keep making like mouth.
I'm currently soloed along with the recording, so no one can... But if you listen very closely, I'm turning it all the way up. I'm boosting it.
Be enough!
It's a very faint murmur in the back. I've unmuted you guys. Very faint. We can make out... Oh, God. That's a faint murmur in the background. That's a faint murmur.
Also, one of my colleagues just said all of them. Wow. One of my colleagues said all of them. One of my colleagues also stated that this is going to dry up their fundraising if we vote on this resolution.
Duh.
I also want that. Like, that's what we've become in this state.
Become?
That's what we've become in this state.
That's
where we don't
been.
Care about yeah. innocent babies that don't even get the opportunity to blow out their first birthday candle.
No, they get to blow out their fucking... They're fucking tunnels.
Yeah.
When you think about the context of that, that's fucking nuts. Like, you're calling for a ceasefire.
Well,
and you got these Republican faggots saying, oh, whoa, if we do that, that's going to drop my fundraising.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, that's Jews that are saying that.
Well, that's how this whole thing just, like, works. Like, whether it's compromise or funding, it's like nothing.
Look, man,
nothing gets...
we got to keep killing Palestinians so I can get my money.
Right. Money from my, Jew handlers that are running my entire career, that are running this country, of course. That's why shit doesn't go anywhere.
Apparently, this black woman has called to censure this woman for this, and it's just not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
No. It's not going to happen. She's allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Jews are allowed to call for genocide.
The idea that you're supposed to have some kind of like optical response to all these guys is totally out the window. It's like, no, they have a bloodthirsty response to it because they want they want to destroy their enemy, and they also at the same time want to hamstring you into not advocating for destroying them because you see them as an enemy.
Right.
It's just that's what optics
and
really
frankly,
are.
You know, on some level, Jews aren't entirely unhappy with what happened here because, of course, this black woman is, you know, look, I'm glad that she put that resolution forward, but then later on in her speech, she's like, previously it was anti-black and anti-LGBT rhetoric and anti-women's right to reproductive health. Now it's shifted to Islamophobia. It's like, no, none of that is real. That's what like your Jewish handlers tell you to say. Because why are you making it like if you really this is the thing about the left Palestine shit. It's like, why don't you make an appeal to everybody? Yeah, that's like the Saltzman. Fucking Yenta that one. Mm-hmm. That's like the genocidal Yenta. Yeah, you know, it's like the Jews absolutely work to put the Palestine issue on the coalition of the fringes.
So she privatized her account immediately.
Right, but see, it doesn't matter because
look at this the OP that tweeted this.
She doesn't
really
care what people on Twitter say.
Like this Twitter account is putting out her office phone number and shit, whatever. But listen to this tweet. She says, I don't understand. I'm saying she because this account seems to have female energy. I don't understand how people with bios like this get to be politicians. But I have to laugh at my jokes. People know I'm hilarious. Number one, the Florida House personal account. My pronouns are try me. It's like you don't know how like an uppity Jewish Yenta gets to be a politician. Yeah, I mean, that's because we're so heavily censored. We can't communicate. It's like, you have to understand. It's because she's an uppity Jewish Yenta. And she wants
to genocide.
Well,
I guarantee your district is full of Jews.
Right. Like, she's...
Like...
And if it's not, it's filled
whatever
with...
Whatever district...
It's filled with Shabbos goys. It's filled with people that, like, have been given this message for decades.
Or it's filled with people that vote... That she goes around saying, like, I'm going to cut taxes and out of my cold dead hands. She walks around with like Lauren Boebert with a gun on her hip and you know, like shit like that.
So they're trying to make like River to Sea like a fucking hate crime, but you can actually yell, just kill all the Palestinian babies.
Well, we're talking about the state that like manufactured a way to put Handsome Truth in jail for 30 days for distributing flyers.
Right.
And that's, I mean, you know, what does anybody think about? Why is that happening? Gee, what's the connection there? What's the connection
like,
there?
They had him in his court. Like, while he was in court, he was, like, restrained.
Yeah.
Can we just like get a Star of David that is like, on their state flag? Can we just do that now?
I mean, for like this dude is in court on a littering charge and they're restraining him. They didn't fucking restrain
Alex.
Darryl
the problem
Brooks.
With America is there's a large swath of people that would feel empowered by that. Like if they just put a Star of David on the Florida flag, then people are like, hell yeah. You know, like I shudder at the thought, but they're older people, obviously.
There should be a resolution to do that.
Yeah.
The whole fucking thing that's been going on the last several years where this right wing power center has been building in Florida, it's all fucking Jewish. That shouldn't surprise anybody. It's an entirely Jewed thing. Like the DeSantis thing, although he seems to just because everyone hates him, they're kind of like seem to be shifting focus to like Nikki Haley. It seems like she's the one that they're giving. That
fake dissident, right? Like we're all going to Florida. That seemed to have stalled. Like I don't hear anything about that anymore. And I think it's because of DeSantis fucking.
Well, the whole op is Jewish.
That whole DeSantis really like just sucks. That's my clout chips, by the way. I don't usually play that game, but I think I think I said in 2020, 2021, like this guy's not going anywhere. Because I remember it was at some point where the, you know, the MAGA people and the dissident people were pushing him, and I'm like, that's not going to work. This guy sucks.
Well, what I was saying was that like it was obvious that like Jewish money and power coalescing behind him.
That was true.
Whether or not that was not going to work is another.
It's not
going to
work.
But
that's,
like,
usually it works. That's what's fucked up. Until Donald Trump, that's always kind
of
works.
We had to be like a special kind of repugnant fucking faggot like DeSantis is to not for like all that for like 450 million.
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
$1 million of kike money to go nowhere, you know, just down the drain. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah, they probably given that fucking guy $1 billion now for that dumb campaign that failed.
Yeah, I don't want to waste too much time thinking about Republican politics. But I do wonder, like, how would have like John McCain and Mitt Romney have fared in a post-Trump 2016 campaign world? You know, like they probably would have suffered the same fate because he just steamrolled through their like bullshit machine. Because the Republican bullshit machine is really bad; it's not good.
And the Republican Party has gotten is bad as it was. It's gotten like way worse. And actually, what's funny is it seems that as bad as the pre-Trump Republican Party was, people were like more willing to vote for it because we said Trump has changed the Republican Party in a way that like lowers turnout.
We're not a turnout friendly party. Like you mean no one votes for you?
It's not really a turnout friendly.
That is probably the funniest phrase I've ever heard.
Hence the lower.
How do we make our party more turnout friendly?
It's very niche now.
It's like hipster politics. Like you probably never heard of that.
He's done like it's like a very unique kind of type of politics where you just have like lower turnout.
You're probably not into it, but you have to. It's like an acquired taste.
You've probably never even heard of this before. But
probably never heard of this style.
Probably not going to like it the first time you taste it. You just have to work on it. If you work at it, you'll be able to enjoy it eventually.
Yeah. It's like trying to listen to Godspeed You Black Emperor. Like it never really comes together, actually.
Like Panic at the Disco?
What's that?
Or like Panic at the Disco or something? I'm just trying to think Explosions of terrible band names and terrible... Oh, God. I don't even know what they sound like, but what about like the Eagles of Death Metal?
I think it's like prog.
Panic at the Disco is far more accessible than Republican Party.
So is Godspeed You Black Emperor. Way easier to digest.
Well, Panic at the Disco and Godspeed You Black Emperor just both have exclamation points in the middle of their names, right? That's the thread that I was feeling between them. Like it's Godspeed exclamation mark You Black Emperor, and then it's Panic exclamation mark You Black Emperor. Godspeed You
Panic You Black Emperor.
Yeah, Panic You Black Emperor.
Mm-hmm. That's a good show title.
Panic You Jew Prime Minister.
Oh man, but yeah,
Godspeed
at the Disco.
That's what
his name said before he went in.
I'm going with Panic at the Temple.
Okay.
Panic at the Al-Aqsa.
Panic at the Shul.
Oof.
Man.
But you got to have the two syllables. So
stepped all over my Panic at the Disco reference.
What was it?
Haven't you people ever heard of Stopping the Shabbos Goy?
Is that a song?
I don't know.
I don't know any of their music.
Yeah, I don't know any of their songs.
I write sins, not tragedies, never mind.
Yeah, see, I've never
listened to Panic at the Disco.
I've listened to God's Plead You Back.
I've listened to them.
I still can't name a song, but
there's bands that I just won't give them a chance based on their name, and Panic at the Disco is one of them. My Morning Jacket is another one.
Yeah, that one was right out
the longest time.
Tom Bombadil's was frankly another one.
Oh, God.
Now maybe I need to give them another listen.
For the longest time,
the best band ever.
For the longest time, I wouldn't listen to Rotting Christ because that's just so stupid. And like, it's like, all right, give me a break, pal. But man, they're like really good, and I feel bad. Like what? Why is like Rotting? It's terrible.
I used to feel weird listening to Skinny Puppy because it's a strange name. But...
Oh man, I fucking used to love Skinny Puppy.
Well, that shit used to fucking hit, like when you actually listen to it.
I can't picture you listening to Skinny Puppy.
Like in high school.
That's some like black eyeliner fucking sad boy shit.
Well, yeah, but it helped to get
Do you like the early stuff or the later stuff? Yeah, did it's like
I never wore the black eyeliner, but you like yeah.
It's like why are these girls into these crazy heroin addicts that don't know really how to make music? Like, these heroin addicts are making bad music on purpose with, like, early 80s electronics.
If you really wanted to, you know, you could used to be able to really impress girls. Like, yeah, listen to Muslim Gods, you know.
Yeah, that was like, that was the,
now I'm like, I just support Muslim Gods' worldview. But
yeah,
like,
I can't do the
not
noise
like
anymore.
The music.
I listened to noise for several years. Power noise and rhythmic noise. It was rough. That's where Muslim Gods kind of came out of that scene. A lot of German weird fuckers that do that stuff. And I guess there's like a white power scene within that too. But I never really got into any of that was really legit like that. The stuff I listen to usually just had like electronica aesthetic to it. Like no political. Oh no, the only political band I ever heard was called Winterkalt. And just everything that dude, it's noise music, so there's no lyrical content. But the title of everything he did was like climate change, global warming, anti-business stuff. It was very rustling, but the music was fucking awesome. Like he had like an album called like Do Not Vote for Industry. They're all very cringe. I have CDs in the other room. I'd have to go get them to read some of the fucking terrible. I'm supposed to Google it too, but my hands are busy. I'm drinking coffee. Stuff's retarded. Fucking Skinny Puppy. My God. Muslim Gauze. My God. Winterkalt.
Yeah. Muslim Gods, just like every song was just some obscure Arab figure you never fucking heard of, but it was like really edgy. To be into that. He's got one like dedicated to Ayatollah Khomeini. Nice. Based.
Machine and Fest 1999. I remember that.
Anyway. So I guess. Here's something we could do for this. I'm going to have to go back a little bit to get to this. This headline you should bring up on the screen, this headline of this article, because this is like just exactly
this,
the kind of thing that's up our alley.
Instead of this Winterkalt album from 1997? Oh, just noise music.
Structures of Destruction?
Well, that's the name of the album. Winterkalt. Okay. I don't even know how to pronounce that. I'm just playing. What have we got here? Okay.
You're going to love it.
Okay.
You're going to love it. Going back to the well once again.
Wow.
It never runs dry.
Amid war, an urgent need to ID bodies. I'm IDing my body.
I'm IDing these bodies. Evidence
of Hamas's October 7 rapes slips away.
And look, that's like that Jew right there is like just being told. He's like, by the way, Shlomi, evidence of rapes have slipped away. And he's like,
yeah, this is like
grumpy about it.
Amid war and urgent need to ID bodies, Jews now have excuse to not ever present evidence of rapes from October 7th.
Yep. Now, if you remember last show, I was reading out descriptions of some of the items in the video that is to be screened to select audiences in Los Angeles and New York and was already screened in Israel to journalists. Oh, is this and in it, so they show our... how there's a burned body with pants pulled down.
Yeah, this lady right here. Or skirt up.
Okay.
Actually, this, skirt, this looks like a mannequin. Like, why is it so glossy? It looks like plastic. I don't think this is a real person, Juice.
Why is it always like a Bigfoot photo?
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, Juice.
Well, the other thing is, here's the thing. Now, I've actually not familiar with what scenes of dead, burned to death bodies look like. But I have seen stuff on the internet, and I thought it looked kind of fake. Only I have people who have been who have seen such sites say, like, no, actually, that's kind of accurate.
Well, I'm just doing that because I'm just doing that because there's no reason to have like a low bar of proof for the Jews.
But my thing is like, you don't. That picture doesn't prove anything because you could have pulled her skirt up, and I wouldn't put it past you. So there you go, right? Because
and her
you know,
no one,
so,
just
but
because her, and her skirt could have gone up without being raped. She's a, it's a dead body.
It also could have just gone up because there's like some kerfluffle or something. But so let's just read here, and it gets it's funny what they say. It's again and again the same shit. So actually reading the coach is fun. It says, despite definitive testimony, global skepticism persists about the terrorist sexual crimes. TOI, Times of Israel. Of Israel investigates how mass casualty event in a war zone made forensic determination impossible. But why would it, though? Because the war zone only lasted like a day or two.
You know,
and
it's
after
not,
that, the,
you know, it's
the
not
Hamas
impossible.
Has been expelled.
You skip down here where they've got this tweet of this leaked footage of this crisis actor pretending to be a Hamas terrorist captured who like tells them, we do rape. It's like, that video's fake. That guy's an actor, and I don't care what you say. Like, this is where
you're at. There's
like,
no question.
There's nothing convincing
that
about this guy. I saw this. It's like, they interrogate this guy, and they claim that he like admits to these crimes. And I'm just like, I don't care. He might be a real captive, and he's just telling what you want to hear. Like, no, that's not working. Anytime there's like some kind of crime in America that involves like if you know. If the Central Park Five are exonerated and one of them holds a city council seat in New York now because you told lies about like their confessions being coerced and tortured out of them, then that guy's confession is coerced and tortured out of him, and I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When you have these people, also wait, hold on. Like, is this dude wearing like a dress? Did they like put him in women's clothing to like humiliate him or something? Like, I don't fucking know. But again, obviously these people are either like paid actors or they are Hamas guys that
I have
were
no reason
just
to basically
tortured into saying.
It doesn't matter what it is, I have no reason not to believe that it's a Jewish trick.
If they're in your custody, Jews, I don't believe that they're not being coerced. Period. Straight up. That's it. Period. There's no credibility to somebody who is in the custody of your security forces and is like bound and being interrogated. There is no credibility to it, particularly not when they provide you exactly what you want to sell everyone. I'm sorry, it's fake and no one's going to buy it. Like it's also theoretically violates the Geneva Conventions to do shit like that. But, you know, they've been doing it rampantly. Both Russia and Ukraine have been rampantly doing this.
Isn't Israel not a signer on the Geneva Conventions?
They signed the Geneva Convention.
Oh, they did. I thought there was.
They didn't sign the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. Okay, there's a bunch of. It's not clear, but they did sign the Geneva Convention. Anyway,
okay.
Hebrew language media reported on Wednesday that the Israeli. This article came out yesterday. That the Israeli Police Investigations Unit Lahav 443 has been collecting evidence from terrorist interrogations, witness testimony, and various footage sources about sexual crimes committed by Hamas terrorists during their October 7th onslaught. These eyewitness testimonies from survivors of the Hamas massacre, in which some 1,400 people were murdered and 240 were taken hostage, the majority of them civilians, are horrific. The sexual abuse committed by Hamas includes acts of gang rape, genital mutilation, and necrophilia.
What?
Yeah, no, I just don't believe you. But in the wake of the unprecedentedly large mass casualty event, well... unprecedented for you. Physical evidence of sexual assault was not collected from corpses by Israel's overtaxed morgue facilities amid their ongoing scramble to identify the people killed, many of whose bodies were mutilated and burned. More than a month after Hamas rampaged through border communities near the Gaza Strip, a massive outdoor music festival, Israel is still identifying the dead through disaster victim identification protocols. Actually, in my opinion, they are slow walking the identification of the dead. I don't believe for a second they know who they are. They don't know who they are, and they're doing this because most of them were soldiers, police, or adult settlers. They actually really don't have very many child victims at all. Like, again, you go scrolling through the 800 or so they've identified so far, I saw like two or three. Mm-hmm. The rest of them are all adults. And remember, any adult is a reservist in the Israeli army.
Yep.
Not only are they a settler that's armed, then it's an armed militant Zionist, but they are a like, there was an article about survivors of the music festival are just now look at them in their IDF uniforms on duty, called up to fight. So it's like, yeah, so these are all soldiers. Like, sorry.
Those ravers were they were human shields for the Israeli regime. Right.
They were human shields. They really were. Well, that's what the people in southern Israel literally are. The decision made under war footing and a pressing need to identify the dead, not to use this, dude, these cults just don't fly with me. Not to use time consuming crime scene investigation protocols to document rape cases, however, fueled international skepticism over Hamas's sexual abuse of victims while it held control over parts of Israel on October 7th. I just don't believe that they just don't have time or ability to document these things. The questions and outright skepticism come amid attempts to downplay the scale of Hamas's atrocities on October 7th, especially as international attention quickly moved from the invaders' brutality to the Israeli military response. There is significant evidence of systemic sexual abuse, such as. But morgue officials, get this is fun. Morgue officials have not designated individual cases as rape because of a lack of court-compliant physical.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the content? I don't know if I could do that. And I would say to myself, man, this Svenpai guy is making good content. I love this. I can't take any more free riding. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I'm Svenpai's top guy. What am I going to do? Samsung chose me to get a subscription. Whoa, Sven needs me? Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to bat for you, Sven. I'm going to therightstuff.biz/paywall, Sven.
Cool proof. In addition to survivors' testimony, a slew of Israeli officials, first responders, and morgue workers have stated that Hamas raped women as part of its assault. The Shin Bet has released clips from videotaped interrogations of captured Hamas perpetrators attesting to their orders to rape Jewish women. That's propaganda. That's lies. Those are coerced prisoners, and you're never going to convince me otherwise. Yeah. Reflecting the government's official position, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said that Hamas committed acts of murder, rape, kidnapping in Hebrew language remarks repeated multiple times over the past month. However, the government has not released explicit footage or pressed rape survivors to share their stories, nor have the forensic services released formal reports on whether their findings were consistent with sexual abuse. This seemingly official decision not to provide clear evidence of rape to international media has fed persistent criticism, mostly from abroad, and many media outlets are now framing the October 7th rapes as a claim rather than a fully substantiated fact. Social media is now awash with memes parodying not believing women who are Israeli or Jewish. The skepticism of rape claims. Yeah, no, just don't believe Jews, like, ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is over. Anyway, it's just like cope after cope after cope. They've like investigated why they haven't been able to do it. Challenges to making official designations. Physical evidence for rape or sexual abuse can be collected from the deceased in a manner that would be admissible in court by either a forensic pathologist or a police crime scene investigations unit. Of the two, only a forensic pathologist or another medical doctor with special certification in sexual assault can make a formal recommendation of what the findings suggest. Blah, 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 blah. A month after the massacre, the window for collecting physical evidence of rape that can stand up in court is closed. So, yeah, I mean, okay, so you just don't have it. Like, sorry, Israel. looks like that's a you problem again. Like, yeah, no, I don't believe you. You don't have evidence, therefore I don't believe you. Pixar, it didn't happen, always.
That's
burden of proof for Jews is always high. Sorry.
That's anti-Semitism. You can't ask them. You're not allowed to back up. You can't demand your rulers back up their claims. And they're trying to emotionally blackmail you into some kind of political position. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's just copes. Like, I don't believe that they couldn't do this. And remember, at the same time that these personnel were going down there to retrieve bodies or find dead people or whatever, they were telling us that they had, like, 40 beheaded babies, right? Like, all of this mess that they're talking about going on was from the same time when a Jewish woman in an IDF uniform talked to an American journalist, an American news journalist from like ABC News, and said, yeah, one of the people on the team found 40 beheaded babies.
Oh.
And the journalist was like, well, can I talk to that person? She's like, no. I just heard it from, again, nobody themselves. This is the origin of this claim. Like, no one, because I saw a video of a woman in an IDF uniform making this claim, mm-hmm. but she didn't say she saw it. She said she heard it from another member of the team that saw it. And there's every single person.
There's been reports.
Yeah.
Reports.
There's been reports. Yeah, we got reports. reports.
Literally, colon reports. That's all you got. Usually, colon reports. Stuff people actually do, but when you have Jewish colon reports, completely baseless.
Well, report is always a way to, like,
never forget we had, like, the burnt brisket was like when you're pushing on them for evidence and they come up with ridiculous bullcrap. You know, the burnt brisket mound of God knows what it was presented by Ben Shapiro is just like, again, it's like if you take your thinking cap off. As our friend Dean Iyerbud would say, you know, you just look at that and you're like, oh my God. But then you like put your thinking cap back on. I was like, mm-hmm. I have no idea what that is.
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of Americans never put their thinking cap on. You're thinking small. Put your thinking small cap on.
Yeah.
Your thinking kip on.
Your unthinking cap on. That's what it is. So.
Right.
It's not good.
Right. So Americans just don't. I mean, the type of people that support Israel, they don't. That's the thing. Like, for them, and this is sort of like how this works. Like, they don't give a shit about actually killing Palestinians. Like, they're actually all for it. What they care about, though, is when they know that somewhere that it's, like, wrong and it's, like, a bad look to be doing. They don't care about it.
No.
But they argue about it because they know, like, we can't actually confess to this.
They debate over how much they debate over how much and how fast they can get away with. That's basically what their debate is on their internal discussion is. And you've got like the Netanyahu thinks he can get away with a hell of a lot right away right now. And the other side is like, we have to stretch this out and take the long view. And a lot of people who are that we encounter on as like rightoids and whatnot, they really have a tough time taking the kind of long view that the labor Jews or whatever you want to call them can take. Like I don't think Americans really have the capacity to think about like how the next 100 years are going to go. They're like thinking from, they're basically trained to think from presidential election to presidential election. You're talking about politics or even like the in-betweens every 2 years, shit like that. Like they're not thinking that way. But these people are able to construct like if we do this right here in like 1983, it's like, well, in, you know, in 2027, we could have this effect. You know what I mean? Like people have a tough time.
It does seem that
because basically
people have
like
a very short time horizon
because of the average person shouldn't have to do that. That's why you're supposed to have rulers and leaders who are able to have that vision. We just don't, rulers and leaders are them, the enemy, the Jew.
Right.
You know,
that's the problem. Like the average person doesn't necessarily have the long time horizon.
Right.
So you need to have an establishment class that is able to look like, what is this country going to look like when we're all dead? Like, what's the long term like goal here? Where are we trying to go with this? Right. And, you know, other countries do have that. And even this is why, like, I envy countries like Russia and China you know, not maybe they've got less money than we do or lower living standards than we do, but they do seem to have a ruling class that is taking a long-term view of the overall health of their society over a long time span, which literally nobody in America does. Our ruling class takes a long-term view over the health of Israel in the long term and does not care about the health of our country in the long term. And that actually is hurting them, because if they need this country for Israel to exist. And so by cannibalizing it, and, you know, they are having this huge fucking problem with military recruitment, and it's not going to get better. That ad was not well received. The ad with the white people in it was not well received, the one that the Army came out with. The Army missed their recruitment goal by 10,000 last year. The Navy missed their recruitment goal by 6,000 last year. And the Air Force managed to, I think, like barely eke by lowering standards for like piercings and tattoos and like criminal misdemeanor drug abuse offenses. So you can now be in the Air Force if you have like misdemeanor, if you smoke weed and have tattoos and facial piercings. And they claim this didn't lower their quality of personnel. And I'm like, I doubt it.
So this is fine.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, the Army and the fucking Navy were already, I mean, the Army in particular was already recruiting like troglodytes. Like they're already recruiting basically like trolls that live under bridges. You know, they just like literally genetic defective people are already being recruited into that branch. So not really, there's like no bar they can lower for Army, for Army recruitment. If you look at the people they're bringing in. So, yeah.
What do you got here?
Anyway. Yep.
What would the motivation?
Gen Z Gen Z explains why they won't join the military. So is this like a millennial vet who's gonna like call them all pussies for it, or
no? It's actually the guy that's watching these videos is just sort of like, I don't know, being kind of objective about it, but fairly early in the stretch.
Oh, it's this fucking guy.
This guy.
The boomer. I hate this fucking guy.
What would the motivations be for Gen Z joining the military outside of?
Are you ready to die for abortion? Robert, are you committed to spreading the United States of degeneracy?
Because this is what day one.
Look how mad he is. He's always like this. He's about to shoot a copper mine protester. He's so mad.
Looks like now.
You think of.
Well, I saw this TikTok. Had to share. You got this young fellow, Gen Z. And he's parroting why Gen Z doesn't want to join the military. Some of the points I've heard.
I don't think he was parroting it. Like, he's literally saying, like, do you want to spend the American Empire of degeneracy?
Did he say parroting or parodying?
Boomers
love to say parroting. They love that word.
Well, we'll have to call for a review on the field here. Mike's throwing the red flag.
You got this young fellow, Gen Z.
Hold on. Laugh over it. We're trying to get a ruling here.
You got this young fellow, Gen Z. And he's parroting why people.
I can't tell.
Can't tell either. It sounds like parroting.
Parroting or parodying?
Parroting. Boomers love to accuse people of parroting. They do this all the time. Like whenever someone like says a talking point, he's like, "You're parroting."
Are you ready to die for abortion? Robert, are you committed to spreading the United States of degeneracy?
Because this is what.
I don't know.
Spreading.
I'm going to go shoot a Panamanian protester.
And he's parroting why people, Gen Z, doesn't want to join the military. Some of the points I've heard from you guys in the comments, in the video I did about the guy in Poland trolling the soldiers, you probably know what it is. Stand by. Let's see if we can dissect it. They have too much information. Let's go.
If I were to die.
Wait, they have too much information?
What the fuck?
What?
Well, hold on a second. I got to say this. The video of the guy trolling the troops in Poland.
That's HT, isn't like, it?
No, it wasn't it's him. Not, it was somebody it like in him. His clique, though. Okay. I forget the guy's name. It wasn't him, but it was someone in his crew. Yeah. Then that shit, look, again, that shit was funny.
It was hilarious.
It was legitimately very, very funny.
All this guy could do was seethe and tell him he was lucky that those troops didn't, like, you know, commit felony assault.
I mean,
he's like, okay, boomer.
I mean, he was following the troops around the mall in Poland like, are you here to spread anal sex to Poland?
Yeah.
I'm still going to be...
They actually were laughing because it's like, but at the same time, you're what can they? The only answer is yes.
Yeah.
Right. Live on the internet.
I'm in the ghetto. Ra-ta-ta-ta. Does this uniform make me look thick? Ah! Wait, turn on my phone. I got a drink.
I'm giving you some context before we get into the young fella. Glad you're here. Welcome back to Jameson's Travels. So, I don't know if it's a skit. It's the real army. I see so many TikToks that don't make the military look good.
Right.
I get it. Young people are going to have fun. But if you're an employer, would you want your employee making your company look stupid? I don't know.
Water out of this? Renegade.
So what's like
these people are not in the army. This is a skit.
This is like men doing a voiceover, like ADR for these women. Is that what's going on?
Oh, grenade. It's fucking hot out here. Where's the AC? Lens break.
Wait, I don't have my gun.
Attention. Sir, yes, sir. Private August. Yes, sir. My parents raised me a non-binary. Just that we like a private. Private, are you ready to die for pride parades in Kiev? Are you ready to die for our greatest ally, Private? Private, are you willing to die to maintain the sovereign state of Israel?
Fucking based.
Okay, I want to see what this
fucking... what do you say to that?
Boomer says.
All he's going to do is call the kid anti-Semitic. Like, he thinks that's the end of the conversation.
We'll see what happens. Let's see.
One of the things, like, in that other video you were talking about where the guy was heckling the soldiers, like, he says nigger in there somewhere. And he's like, see, that is just right, like, that was, like, my point is proven. This person has the out-of-bounds opinion. Probably just going to call him an anti-Semite.
I've heard this a lot in the comments over the years. All of these statements...
Right.
Could be fringe, but for thousands of times from Gen Z saying this. So I don't know how much a Gen Z that's eligible to go in thinks this. Because the patriotism, you know, you didn't build that, I was never proud of America, is gone. So now it's just a job. You're not going in thinking, okay, I'm going to make this into an adventure, grow up. Because we're going to get to an Army vet, looks like, talking about this. Like, why would Gen Z join? You saw them at the beginning.
Well, why would Gen Z join? Because we have at least 30 years on the record of all of our wars being for, like, Zionism and for just fucking up the Middle East. People notice what's going on. Like, you look at Afghanistan and Iraq. Like, that never happened. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. Right.
So I'm getting a vibe like this guy is going to turn this issue around to be like a critique of Gen Z. Rather than like a critique of America and the military, which is like getting it wrong because that's not going to help the matter.
But you keep thinking that everything is fine. Everything's going fine. America's military is great. It's everybody who doesn't want to join it who's wrong.
And I got to tell you this.
Ride that narrative into like missing recruitment goals you're having year in and year out. Please.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right.
Hello. Thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed. And we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors. We have no mega donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
This guy is highly critical of the woke shit and trannies and stuff like that, right? So yeah. I could see him potentially like going with the message, but it seems like he also he's one of these boomers who always wants to criticize like Gen Z. Like that kid, that Gen Z kid, like that sentiment, that skit he's doing, that TikTok, that's not fringe amongst them.
No, it's not.
That
fringe.
Is not a fringe thing for a Gen Zer to do. And if anything, you don't know if that kid is left or right or whatever, or just a normal or just an average kid. He's
and
like,
also,
everybody gets
if you notice, his little caption is wrong. It says the U.S. military for the next 20 years. Like the U.S. military now.
No, it's for the next like 20 minutes.
Yeah. it's already here.
He's got some interesting points.
Are you willing to die for the revision of sodomy laws? What about abortion, Private? Are you ready to die for abortion, Private? Are you committed to spreading the United States of degeneracy?
I don't know that you can argue with this kid now, what we see with our own eyeballs, right?
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay. Wow. Enough. I was not expecting that.
I'm going to send your young son to Ukraine right now. And we saw what happened 20 years in the desert. We left, come back with what? I mean, I don't even see oil being cheaper. You think there'd be something, right?
Okay.
Maybe we, right. Maybe we're getting this
is
guy.
Is the boomer slowly starting to wake up?
Is he noticing? Keep going in, I guess keep going in his comments and red pilling. He says he's been seeing these comments a thousand times. Maybe he's starting to see.
Do I feel safer after 20 years, after 9/11? You know, 9/11, we had a record group of people who joined, right? They were patriotic. And you look back, like 22 years later, and you go, it swung the other direction.
Every single darn part of this world. Really. I'm talking about transhumanism in Sweden and child bottom surgery in Portugal. Sir, yes, sir.
Not me being dramatic. Girl, guess what?
Child bottom surgery in Portugal. That is a great line.
That is good stuff. You just got this guy acting like a fag or whatever.
I am not sure if these army people in like army uniforms skit, like acting faggoty, if they are legitimately in the military or if they're doing a skit. I can't tell.
It doesn't matter either way. It's like,
yeah, it could be. Now they do have, they do seem to have real guns, but this is America. Those are not hard to come by. So
you can buy all that. Yeah. Gear.
Either way, they've turned the military into a joke.
Yeah.
Which it is.
Think yeah. about it. You're a young man. You want to test your mettle, and then you see these kind of things. Sure, it's a skit, but some of these aren't skits. I don't know what's going on, but you see these people make it look stupid. It's not helpful at all.
To who?
Again, we're going to get to that.
No, it's helpful to the people who like otherwise would have joined. It's helpful to like yeah. people are not going to yeah. die for your like Zionist bullshit. That like that's mm-hmm. help. Like none of the, like American foreign policy is not for the purpose of making Americans safe, and it doesn't make Americans safe. It endangers us all. The only reason there's a jihad yeah. against, there's only reason like any fucking Arab has ever like yelled death to America is because of our policies vis-a-vis yeah. Israel.
Additionally, so, though, like the thing that makes
our policy,
Americans
I just want to say, like our geopolitical policy makes us less safe at home,
oh, yeah.
less safe anywhere in the world you're visiting. Like anywhere you go, there's a possibility of some kind of like terror attack somewhere because either it's something that's being directly funded as a PSYOP or a false flag by Israel. Or it's a chicken coming home to roost, like terror attack yeah. in protest of American and Israeli world domination.
But additionally, Americans aren't safe inside of America just right. for entirely domestic reasons
right.
because of the same Jews shit. Running foreign policy, yep. running domestic yep. policy, yep. like these Jew fucking, you know, prosecutors everywhere and the Jew court and legal and law enforcement establishment, like refusing to put black criminals in jail on racial reasons and, yep. and you know, non-white. So we're just not like, frankly, it is true. In America, you are actually significantly mm-hmm. more likely to be stabbed or shot by a nigger than an Arab. Like,
We have Rotherham in America too. It's just that it's niggers. We didn't have to import anybody to do it. They're already here. We were imported a long time ago.
We imported them 200 years ago. That's the problem.
Mm. Army guy talking about why would Gen Z join? He's got some good points.
I'm calling you through my Apple Watch. So where are the bathrooms? I'm not using those. Actually, my pronouns are hot, sexy, and obviously we're getting attacked. Oh, that's not really.
That was the pronoun theater. The stunning and brave trans people, all that. Is that helping recruiting? Are we getting a mass influx of people that are transgender joining the military? Is it help? I mean, if it does help, I go, okay, you're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. I think all.
Yeah, notice, you know that ad the Army ran the other day with all the white kids in it jumping out of the helicopter? I was like, why don't you have any of those guys like wearing their doggy like play helmet? You know, like, why don't you put those guys in the commercial? Remember the guys that have their. Whatever
yes.
photo
yes.
with their
the
dog helmets
play.
On.
Did you see Daily Rake's article out of this today or yesterday? It was good.
No, I don't think I did.
He did an article on the ad, and he of course was featuring the pup play
yeah.
army oh,
okay.
photograph guy.
Great
yeah.
minds,
and he just did a whole thing on it. But it seems like this boomer is like, you know, I'm okay with the tranny army if that works. I kind of don't think it's gonna work.
It's just another one.
It seems
of those
to be what he
words.
Just said there.
Yeah,
I don't know. He might be doing that just to do like a sarcasm.
Let's
though.
Do a little more here.
All the things combined, and now Gen Z's got all this information at their fingertips. They can see it with their own eyes.
my thing, you know what I'm saying? Hey Siri, call an Uber. And then he took off his mask and...
Hey, we're drafting you to the army.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Oh, hell no. Yeah. Oh, but look, you get to become TikTok famous.
Do you think there's some people really joining the Instagram, the TikTok? I didn't grow up with any of it, so maybe it's a thing. And maybe it's a good thing.
Oh, my God.
They go in, they love it, and they become lifers, right? I don't know that's the case, though, because it's not even as good as the TikToks look, and they're sitting around, hurry up and wait, you know, coming in on weekends to clean the squad bay or the barracks, and they're bitter.
So I've been spending some time thinking about this for a little while. I want to understand...
Stop twirling your, like, half-filled-in mustache, for God's sake. I'm sorry. Like, shave that thing. It's not happening.
I'm doing art of masculinity type aesthetics here.
He needs like mustache enhancing drugs. This is not there.
For a little
while.
You
should get the pre-worn end cap like the boomer.
Yeah.
I want to understand what would the motivations be for Gen Z joining the military outside of, you know, being an influencer or being viral on TikTok?
That's a real question. I don't know. When I heard this,
I wasn't aware of this issue. Like, you can become an influencer through by joining the army. I was not aware of this happening.
I wouldn't be surprised if the military, in their bumbling dumbness, because you would think, right, when you get to base, they're like, all right, your cell phone is fucking off, except for like certain times of night when you call your family or whatever, right? Like, you know, during the day, if I see that thing in your hand, you're fucking going to discipline and doing, dropping and give me 20 or 50 laps or whatever the fuck your sergeant's going to tell you to do, right? I would assume that would be what it was, and it probably was that way for a while. But now, I'll bet you, because they're having recruiting problems, they might be, like, letting people that are, and I'm totally speculating here, they might actually be letting people in the military do like Instagrams and TikToks from boot camp or from them, whatever, and then what happens is you get shit like what we just saw.
Letting them do them is one thing. Letting them become actual successful, like big accounts, influencers, that's a different story. That means that they're like good with this message being like getting out to as many people as possible.
Yeah, I'm sort of
confused.
I
saw the young
know.
Man doing the skit, making fun of why he wouldn't join. The Israel comment, the abortion, you know, the bottom surgeries. He's this guy. Looks like he's in Guess in the Army.
Okay, all right.
What have you? This, that, and the other.
Typical
American.
What have you? Yeah, you know,
American politics.
The Israel comment, the abortion.
I
want to
get that again.
The Israel comment, the abortion.
That was good shit.
You know, the bottom surgeries. He's this guy. Looks like he's in, I'm guessing, the Army. I couldn't find an answer to that question. Family tradition, maybe.
Wait, hold on a second.
Maybe they want to go in and test their metal, and they're going to go and try to go SF or something. Or
Wait, one sec. He's like, I'm looking at this guy, and I'm seeing an ironic mustache, so I'm guessing he's a millennial.
Right.
Because the Gen Zers acting like total faggots, and the millennial has the ironic mustache.
Lucky
so,
he doesn't
yeah,
have
every
like
generation
a...
has his trademark.
Every time I see that mustache, I just assume that he's sitting in a Dodge Charger at the bottom of a hill waiting to pull somebody over going to work.
We're lucky he doesn't have a mustache tattoo on the inside of his fucking pointer finger that he's, you know.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
That's the most millennial thing ever.
Recon or something along those lines. I don't know.
Do they find free college appealing? Do they find free room and board appealing? Do they find free medical care appealing? Like, what are the reasons why Gen Z is interested in joining the military? I genuinely want to know. If you're,
I don't think they find any of that appealing. They go into debt they're never going to pay off. They're forced to get health insurance, often with a subsidy, right? They don't have a good job. They're Obamacare. The pride element of this
Wait,
has been...
Wait, didn't this guy just say, like, they get all that shit free? I guess they don't really, though.
Destroyed by the brass. You know, the patriotic element. So what's left? Just a shitty job you have very little control over in their mind, in Gen Z's mind? You see where I'm going with this?
You're in Gen Z, and you're thinking about joining the military, let me know in the comments what your reasoning for it is. Because I'm genuinely curious. I would love to know.
Now, I looked in this guy's comments. I'll link to these videos below. And most of the comments didn't have a lot of views. It's short. It's on YouTube. Were people going in. They weren't people not going in with why they wouldn't go in. You guys are Gen Z comment why you're going in, why you're not going in. But I don't know what the real draw is now, because after 9/11, people are patriotic. You got people fired up. And before, like in my time frame, you didn't have all this information. You didn't really know. And I had a family.
Yeah, you had no information, so you just joined the military.
Yeah. Listen, we used to have like widespread ignorance, and that started to wane a little bit. So we started to like do psyops and false flags on the population to gin up some.
Right.
And now that doesn't work anymore because there's so much more information out there. Right. Now, like in now that day, that's
we
somehow
we went
this
because we didn't have information. That's somehow a very this, fucking hilarious.
Somehow we created a but somehow we created a bunch of cynicism, and then that cynicism also has like facts that can back it up. How did we get here? You may find yourself in a declining empire. You may find yourself missing your recruitment goals. And you may ask yourself, how did I get here? How did I get this waning patriotism?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, I guess I'm not entirely surprised. What's interesting, though, this boomer doesn't seem to be too animated or shocked or angry or upset by the comment about Israel.
Maybe Gen X.
Well, because he's
got the boomer vibe.
He took off
of it. Boomer at heart.
He took off his judgment hat and he put on his how do we fix this hat. And so he can't just like. That's kind of somewhat, you know. He's basically
he's kind of looking at it like,
how did this person get this idea that it's about Israel? You know, that's more what he's trying to analyze. He understands that that's out there. That information's out there. How do we stop? How do we stop
about how Israel is like a criminal enterprise? And like we just didn't have that when
all this information
joined
about,
the military.
Yeah, you just joined it. You didn't know that you were fighting for.
You had
Israel.
No idea about anything.
History of it, so kind of went in for different reasons. Name? Now you look at this. Would you have your kid go in? Your little brother? Would you say, "Hey, you should go in"?
No.
Here's my take.
No.
And if you go in with a purpose, you're not going to be doing something boring, sitting back in garrison. It'd be a good adventure for you. Likelihood of you getting blown up overseas is probably slim at this point. You're more likely to die in a DUI car crash. So if you go in wanting to get something out of it,
what date was this?
2 months. It says 2 months ago. So this is
October. So like very, very different. They're very different circumstances.
He's on the other side. On the other side of the event horizon, right there. You know.
Yeah.
See what his kind of got now. Anyway,
blown up is pretty high today.
Yeah.
And I would have actually said a couple months ago, likelihood is closer to not being zero than it has been in a while, even a couple months ago. But yeah.
Let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
Here's
a funny comment, though, on the thing he was reacting to. Since you want to hear it, I am a Gen Z. Mm-hmm. I'm also a Chinese immigrant who's now a U.S. citizen. This is a guy who wants to join the Navy.
Well, he probably getting his citizenship by doing it. He's like, I also plan on stealing naval technology.
Yeah, I was going to say he's an infiltrator.
Country, so that's really why I'm as a Chinese immigrant, I plan to steal U.S. Navy technology and... I'll leak it back to my home country.
I'm here to be a double agent in case there's like a conflict over Taiwan.
I'm here for espionage against your military.
Espionage, sabotage, you know, these are adventures for me.
Usual.
I'm here for a purpose. I'm actually here to stop the U.S. military from spreading the United States of degeneracy and bottom surgeries in Portugal. At least prevent them from in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get a sensitive position working on a nuclear submarine on a vital system that I can...
I'm very good.
Still listening to this version of The Daily Showa? Still haven't subscribed? Please, go over to therightstuff.biz/paywall, grab a subscription, and you won't be interrupted with these sales pitches ever again.
You know, math, copy the details up and ship them back to my Chinese overlords.
Oh man, this is a Gen Z comment for real. I'd start with stop lying about the free stuff bullshit, LMAO. It's free, sure, but it's fucking mid.
It's fucking mid.
That's very true.
That's good. All right.
Thanks.
All right. We should check up what this guy's more recent comment is. I'd love to see that. That we got to check in on Bo. When's the last time we checked on Bo?
Oh, man. Wow.
Bo of the West Bank. I want to hear about
Bo. I have
Bo.
Not. Oh, my God. That, right? I'm almost afraid of hearing Bo.
Yeah, if you're lucky, we won't do that the next hour. We'll be right back.
All I see are NPCs. We live in a society. All I see are NPCs. We live in a society. We live in a society.